Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, I'll start off the batting with my Keith impersonation to kick off season two. See how I go.
Go on, Kyles.
All right. How about you, Sweeney?
I'm a protected species.
All right. You, Mike?
Oh, yeah. You can't threaten me. I'm a protected species.
Come on, guys. What do you want to do? It sounds nothing like me.
That's awesome.
It's nice. There's a rat called Rattus. He's a leader of the bunch. A cat called Modigliana. She's fluffy, but she's tough. Darren, he's a dopey dog. Lixie's a mother of a mixed up bunny. Feral, that's a feral's for ya. Feral, don't mess with the ferals. The ferals.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Ferals Podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Boy, and I'm joined by...
Swinny.
And Michelle.
And today we're kicking off season two, and we're joined by a very special guest. He's been a puppeteer for 30 years, worked on hit TV shows like Bananas in Pyjamas, puppeteered on ads for Macca's, that's McDonald's for our American listeners, and KFC, is a freelance photographer, but you will know him as the man behind the puppet for the fluffy but tough Modigliana, and our cult favourite, Keith. Mel Heap, welcome, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks very much for having me. Good to be here, you guys.
That's awesome. So I'll lead off the batting with the questions. What was your first reaction when you heard about or saw that there were these three crazy guys doing an episode-by-episode review of The Ferals?
I must admit, when I first... I can't remember how I stumbled upon the link. I think somebody sent me the link to your podcast, and I thought... this could be interesting. I travel on a train to go to work these days, and I thought, I've got a bit of time to fill in each morning. I thought, well, might as well catch up and see what guys are having a yak about. And I was surprised, but I do know there's quite a number of fans out there. I've done a few radio interviews over the last few years about the Ferals, and I've realised how big a fan base there is because it was a bit of a cult show. And so I've loved listening to what you guys have been saying, and I've been having a good chuckle to myself about the fact that you guys have gone completely off the deep end, analysing every scene by scene. I think you put more effort into analysing a scene than we ever did when we were recording the show.
Yeah, I think like we were bouncing around the idea to review a show, and it always stood out in my mind as a very off-color, bit strange, bizarre cult TV show. So, and I think we definitely had the right choice. So, Swinney, how about you next in terms of questions?
I actually had a question about where the Ferals are now. Like, the puppets. Are they in storage or... have you still got Keith somewhere in the
cupboard? Actually sits in my garage because Marty to have a new life after the Ferals in a show called Creature Features, which we did six series of. So she got to travel around and it was a bit of an animal show. So she thought the show should be entirely about cats. But we toured around Australia visiting farms and zoos, talking about animals. So she actually got a bit of a facelift and fixed up for that show. So that was great fun. So she actually sits in my garage. Sadly, the foam inside their heads is totally disintegrated, so she's not usable anymore. But, yeah, I don't think I could ever throw her away. Keith was the same. He started to fall apart, but he actually was a lot worse for wear. So sadly, the old Keith got chucked in the garbage.
No.
And I think Mixie, Radis, and Darren, I think Emma, who is the puppeteer for Mixie, she may still have them. But, yeah, same sort of thing. They slowly, they faded away and, yeah, I suppose like most of those good childhood memories, they've gone to dust and, you know, there's not much left of them.
I did notice that when Mixie had her own kind of short five-minute show, that the puppet looked quite different. I don't know if it was just cleaned up and it didn't have the rings around the eyes.
Yeah, she was deferralized for that show. she was not as grungy. Actually, I think she might have been a new Mixie as well. And as you guys probably will discover when you start talking about series two of you'll notice Moddy's face has changed. She's had some plastic surgery as well. So in the second series of Ferals, actually a new Moddy was made. So
Now, yeah, I did notice that.
I was going to say, we actually debated whether or not there was more than one puppet for different kind of uses. So was it always the one set of puppets at one time?
There was always just one puppet for the series, yeah. So there was only one Radis ever made, one ever Darren. But Moddy, when we did the pilot episode, her eyes were pretty shocking, so we fixed them up a little bit as best they could. And then when they decided to go for a second series, he was actually remade. So she actually can look at a camera straight down the barrel rather than her wonky eye that she had for the host for all of series one.
I think that added some character, to be honest.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, she's a bit more mangy for series one than series two.
In terms of the puppet doctor, I think Sweeney had a question on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that a common thing? Obviously, you're going to have someone to repair puppets, but are they normally called a puppet doctor?
Because we actually refer to her as the goddess, actually, not the puppet doctor. Tina Matthews was her name. Tina was unbelievable. She actually spent time with Henson's on the Muppets, and I mean the back end of the Ferals, like the wardrobe, the props makers, they were just all sensational. And it's funny, I think I can't remember which episode I was having a listen to where you guys were talking about. Imagine your career highlight being that you've made these tiny clothes for these tiny puppets. We were often blown away by the fact that these wardrobe people who are, you know, making these amazing costumes for Andrew Denton's show was on when we were doing Ferals. And they used to have some outrageous outfits for Denton to wear, and those ladies also made a lot of the wardrobe outfits for the puppets, and I think they showed their real skills in making these items that were, you know, smaller than babies' outfits, really. So they had to make everything from scratch. You know, Keith's Hawaiian shirt, which I loved immensely.
And we've noticed that there's some, you know, they're the best dick stickers. No one else has got them like that. You know, Tony Abbott's look ridiculous compared to mine.
Actually, that reminds me. The whole method acting?
Yeah,
you know, some actors they totally transform into the characters.
Yeah,
does that mean, you know, in preparation for Keith, you climbed up a tree and in smugglers and
caught chlamydia somewhere in King's Cross?
Keith, you guys probably wouldn't have remembered a show called The Auntie Jack Show, but Auntie Jack Show was a show that I used to sneak into the lounge room when I was a kid and watch my stepfather watching this show on the ABC. And there was a character in The Auntie Jack Show called Kev Cavanna. And so Wendy Gray, who was the producer, she said, "Oh, you've got to do Keith has to be like Kev Cavanna." And I think I got the role of Keith because I was the only one who knew who Kev Cavanna was.
You say the Arnie Jack Show. That blows my mind, because when I actually was telling a family member that for some bizarre reason we were doing a episode by episode podcast about the Ferals, her partner said, "Oh, you should do one about the Arnie Jack Show," and I never heard of it. So I just love that's the connection.
I think the Arnie Jack Show is one of those shows, I suppose, very much like the Ferals, that would never ever be aired again on the ABC because of political correctness. And
well,
that's what we said in episode one, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's. I wanted to ask you about that because at the time, were there any complaints, or between season one and two, were there a toning down of the season? Because we haven't actually watched all of season two.
Yeah.
So yeah, was there any feedback at the time, or is it just a different time now?
No. I don't know whether we still hold the record for the most complaints. The day that the show went to air, we all actually had a bit of a party in the children's department, and within the first, I think, 2 minutes of the show, the number of complaints that had come through to the ABC switchboard blocked up the switchboard, and I think for a number of years, I know we held the record for the most complaints. I think might have been changed now by the chaser, but. Yeah, I think the opening scene, if I vaguely remember it, was Motti hitting Radis out of the shed with a baseball bat. Yeah, that's what all the complaints were about. So, yeah, nice to be known as the most talked about show for quite a little while. it was interesting. You know, the children's department, when we started the Ferals, they started a little show called Bananas in Pyjamas, and there was this other little group called the Wiggles. So all three pretty much started at the similar time. And sadly, you know, I only got to work on the Bananas at nearing the end of its time. But yeah, the other group, I don't know what happened to the Wiggles. Yeah,
I think the Wiggles would have been much more enjoyable if there was more violence like the Ferals in it.
Oh yeah,
yeah, baseball, gambling.
Yeah, certainly would have been more fun.
And were there any plans for a season three, or was it just that sort of, you know, the amount of complaints and, like, was it ratings, or what was the driver behind sort of it ending its run on season two?
We were always told that ratings never had anything to do, and I think they still say that at the ABC, because there's been a number of shows I've worked on, they say, well, it's not about the ratings. The Creature Features, for example, it won its time slot. It beat all the commercial networks, and you know, after six series, they said, "Oh, look, we're going to stop it now," which is strange. You know, I think the Ferals, if it fitted into that too hard basket.
Yeah.
I think one of your podcasts, you were talking about who was it aimed at? It was actually aimed at a 12, 13-year-old boy. And that's what Claire Henderson was, the executive producer, and we used to call her Scary Claire, because we do an episode, we do the rehearsing, and then she would come down and she would watch us do a run through, and then with the directors, and then she would sit down and she would talk about the episode, and she would sort of do the red pen treatment to the script, and then depending on how long it went, we'd have to re-block a whole lot of stuff or change scripts. Dialogue got changed, but she let an amazing amount of stuff go through, and I think
I was about to say the red pen probably wasn't used enough.
Oh,
we're happy for it.
I know there was a lot of stuff that got axed. Brian Rooney, who played Leonard, he used to do used to have a lot of stuff, and I chuckled at some of the stuff in this episode in series episode one from series two, thinking about the stuff that he used to get away with, he was allowed to get away with.
Speaking of being allowed to get away with, I'm dying to ask, did you improv some of the insults towards Radis? Because you insult Radis a lot, as my dad that.
Actually, the insults and stuff, I was not allowed to improv that sort of stuff, because that was actually highly regulated by what we were allowed to say. And they were very careful about it. There was one line Motti actually said, which I have a chuckle about the fact that it's probably the most expensive word that I've ever got paid for saying. Motti said, I think it was,
"Oh, would somebody please go and fix that damn clock?"
And Motti was not allowed to say damn. So I had to go back in and re-record the word damn, and it came out, "Oh, would somebody please fix that dumb clock?"
Ah,
interesting.
And so just the dam thing is just because of the religious connotation, or
I'm not sure why I had to fix it up, but hey, look, I didn't mind getting paid to hop in a cab, travel to Gore Hill and go into a recording studio and get paid 4 hours to change one word.
That's awesome. With the amount of other stuff that got through, that's amazing that they'd do that one word.
Yeah.
Especially the conceptual stuff, because I must admit, I love this show, and watching it again, it represents who I am, gambling, yeah. You know, having fun, having a laugh, not being completely PC. It's very, very much up my alley.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, I'm just kind of surprised that a single word is so highly regulated, but some of the concepts are about gambling. Like in this episode, there's a concept of Radis's bet all everyone's money,
yep.
To win the competition. So I don't really think that's necessarily appropriate for kids, but that sort of just flies through. That's okay. So yeah it's interesting.
There's a lot of things like that, you know, the gambling, the betting, the violence, the backstabbing, the lying, I suppose. You know, a lot of that sort of stuff. It was always seen that it was the Ferals was meant to be a cartoon. So that was the boundary. It was saying, look, this is what they do in the cartoons. You look at the Bugs Bunny, early Bugs Bunny stuff, and that was what it was based on. They were saying, look, what they say there, that's what we can get away with saying as well.
And
there was one TV critic that actually said that the Ferals was like Muppets on acid, and I think that sort of summed it up pretty well as well.
Well, we've actually done a bonus special review of a movie called Meet the Feebles.
Oh, yes.
And I would contend that that is the Muppets on acid and speed, because that is very well insane. Or maybe it's the Ferals on acid. Maybe that's a
bit. You know who the director analogy is, don't you?
Yeah, Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
No, I actually love his really oddball. I don't like Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit and all that stuff, but I love all his early movies.
Yeah.
Like Brain Dead and all that stuff. Just like really crazy out there kind of things. So one question I need to ask, because a lot of people have asked us to ask this question.
Yep.
Do you know if the Ferals are ever going to make it on DVD or Netflix or digital streaming, iView, anything like that?
I know there was a push to get it out on DVD and everything, and there was a few – I don't know who was responsible. There were a couple of people responsible for getting it all up on YouTube, and I know there was one person who was actually haranguing me for about 2.5 years to find the VHS tape that had 4 Ferals and a wedding, because I knew – I actually did record them all on VHS tape years and years ago, but with the idea that one day, you know, I could actually put them onto a DVD. I don't know what's happened to it. It would be great to have, you know, high quality ones to have a look at, but to be honest, I actually hadn't looked at episodes until I started listening to your podcast and you guys were talking about stuff, and I went, really, what are we doing that one? And you know, and that's, you know, in preparation for this podcast, I actually watched this morning, I watched the dentist episode, episode 1, and I, you know, I'm watching, I'm going, I can't remember what happened in this episode. I remember bits about it that as, you know, as it was going along, I went, oh, yeah, that's right, I remember this, I remember that. So, but yeah, I haven't watched much of it. I love watching the Goof tape because that's lots of fun, but...
No. Yeah, well, we got the copies of that from YouTube, and that's the shame of it, that we can't actually buy legitimate copies to actually review, that we have to go onto YouTube and get our legitimate sources.
Yeah, I don't think the ABC will ever put them out, sadly.
Well, yeah, and I just like I think that that's a great thing about Australian culture is that you can have a laugh and take the piss out of yourself and not take yourself so seriously.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually a negative thing of where we're heading, where it's ultra PC and you just can't, you know, let go a little bit and blow off a bit of steam. And I tend to agree with what you're saying, that I'm sure that they're doing it, or they're not, they don't want to release it even if they can, just because, like, imagine social media. If the Ferals hit Netflix or something, I'm sure people would rant about, oh, I can't believe the show was made, rah, 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 and all that kind of stuff.
So. Oh, look, you know, you know, the Ferals was a fantastic time. We all had so much fun making it. And just this year, Miguel who plays Joe, you guys have talked about, he's probably the one whose career has really taken off. He's incredibly talented performer. You know, he's done Broadway and he's literally travelled the world doing his music. And he was out in Australia earlier in the year, and I got to catch up with him, which was really nice. And we just chatted and just said it was such a phenomenal time for us. We just learnt so much about television, and you know, the career I've ended up in is because of what that time I spent at the ABC. You know, the ABC had cadetships at that time, so there were guys on the floor learning how to do sound, learning how to do cameras, and because you're a puppeteer, you don't have to go to makeup or wardrobe. So you finish a scene, and we'd give our puppets to the puppet goddess, and she'd take them off and get them changed to get into the next scene, and the actors would go off to wardrobe and makeup, and so you'd have this time sitting on set with the camera guys, and they'd say, hey, look, hop on the camera, have a bit of fun, and we'd be learning as we were going. And because of the way you'd film the you know, we've got our hands up in the air with the puppets on there, and the cameras are up high on their peds looking at us, and we've got monitors on the ground, and so we can actually see what they're shooting. So that's the nice part about it. So you'd learn how to frame shots, and that was the great was a great learning ground, but that's stopped now. They don't do that anymore at the ABC. They don't do it at any networks, really. So it was a great time, but I don't think it's ever going to, you know, we're never going to go back to that, sadly.
Is that the industry in general, you reckon? So just quickly, like, I keep thinking of movies like the Terminator 2 or Aliens, where you actually had a guy dressed in an alien suit. And I feel like that's an era of the film industry that you just can't get back now. It's all green screens and CGI, and that's kind of what a lot of film is nowadays, which unfortunately I think sucks. It leaves a bit of the essence, I think, of filmmaking in that sense.
The puppeteering side, you know, I did two TV series at the end of last year, one for Channel 9 and one for Channel 7, both kids shows. And I think it was for three weeks, and we did 90 episodes.
Wow.
And it was...
What kind of hour days were they?
They were the normal TV days, so they were 10-hour days. And,
okay.
And it was just a sausage factory, really. You just sort of get a script, shoot it, next script, shoot it, next script. Whereas, you know, with the Ferals, you got to workshop stuff, and we have rehearsal times. And you know, at the end of last year, I went, oh, it's just not as fun as it used to be. Like as puppeteers, there's a group of us that did Ferals and have done some of the movies and worked together. We all get to do the Dolmio commercials. I don't know if you guys have seen
them. Oh, yeah.
So
that was you? Wow.
So we all get to do the Dolmio commercials, and they've been going for about 12 years, I think, now. And so that's like a reunion that we have as puppeteers every time we get to go on those commercials. And they film them properly. You know, we don't see half the stuff that we film. It all goes to the UK, where it's a massive market over there.
Hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay. Look,
if I can't get a hold of any of the original puppets, I'll settle for a can of Dolmio tomato sauce that's signed by you, please, Mel.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you what, after shooting pasta commercials for two months, the last thing you want to eat is pasta. And at the end of the shoot, they have pallets of the stuff, and nobody wants to take, because you can't stand the smell of it anymore. But
and in terms of like making the show, because it does seem like you guys had a blast making it. You can see that from the goof tapes, and I think it comes out in the art and the craft of what you guys were doing. You're generally enjoying what you did. Were there any standout moments like that you can think of while making the show? Like maybe a certain episode where, I don't know, maybe a really funny thing happened, or was it sort of just a really good ride all the way through?
It really was a lot of fun. I mean, we probably averaged about 12-hour days when we were shooting it. And, there was something when I was watching it today, I went, man, the actors were really clever, because all the scenes that are done in the shed, the actors are actually on walking on risers. So they had these platforms in there that were about, I think they're about 5 foot high in the shed. So that meant that the actors, you know, could, because when we're in the shed, we wanted to be standing up. We didn't want to have to be crouched down so that we could move around, because that was, you know, the Ferals' home. And so most of the stuff in there was for us to be able to walk around with ease. But when you see the actors in there, they're on top of these risers that didn't have any safety barriers or anything like that. So they're just walking around. And sometimes when Mick came running in and does his, you know, his comic acting of falling over or jumping around, you know, the whole thing would shake and move. And there was a couple of the standby props guys that used to sort of hang on the edge of these things, just hanging on to make sure that they didn't fall apart when Mick, when he did his jumping around. And you sort of think, gee, they did well, you know, what they were doing, you know, to work with the puppeteers and the eye line and, you know, keeping the straight face, because we're all down there pulling faces. That's the funny thing when you think about to do a puppet character, to get into the character and to put those that expression in, you're actually trying to channel whatever expressions you put on your face and put it through onto your hand. You know, as I'm talking now, my hands are going around, you know, making funny movements. But there's a great photo that someone took of us, all the puppeteers, and we're all gasping with surprise. And you look at the puppets in the top part and they're all surprised, but then you look at all of our faces and we're all pulling faces because we're all surprised as well. And, you know, I think for the actors running around on these platforms and having to make contact with the eye lines of the puppets and you're seeing these funny actors underneath or these puppeteers underneath pulling funny faces, I think they did really well. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's amazingly seamless. Like, when we were watching some of the behind-the-scenes clips, we saw that the rises that you were speaking of, and yeah. I didn't even realize that that was the case.
Mm.
Like, from my perspective, it looked pretty seamless. It looked like, you know, Joe's just walking in, walking out of the shed, and then to think back, oh, no, actually, he would have been standing, what was it, 5 foot in the air?
Yeah.
To actually, you know, do that. It's pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah, they did really well. And, yeah, so Joe's place had smaller risers and they used to, yeah, everything was on a rise, like all the, his place and Robbie and Leonard's.
Oh, really?
Place that was on smaller risers so that we could pull channels out so that we could sort of walk through. So there were times when, you know, there were massive big gaps in the floor that the actors were stepping over so that we could walk through.
There was
one funny thing. So this is next time you see the puppets all in the couch at Robbie and Leonard's place, we used to – so when you see the puppets sitting on the couch, we're all underneath there obviously, squished in there. And because it was such a hard position to get into, we'd often be in there for a couple of hours. And the joke was, you know, you've been sentenced to the couch for the day just to do this scene. And you're working closely with, you know, to make the puppets look good, you get yourself into these ridiculous positions. And the general rule was if you were uncomfortable then the shot was going to look really good because it meant it was going to work. And, you know, so we'd be – you know, you sometimes have your head stuck in someone else's armpit or, you know, in some place, you know, your butt would be pretty close to someone else's face. And so, yeah, we had heaps of fun doing it. I think my butt was pretty close. When we did those car scenes with Keith, that was fun. That was an improv, actually. I don't
– Oh, really?
So Keith and Kylie in the car, it was just – the car was just meant to be in the background of the shot because it was meant to be the tip, I think. And I just hopped in it one day just for a bit of fun and pushed Keith's ears back. And,
you know, it's great just driving going, meh.
Yeah, as I said, it was like Death Proof, the Tarantino film.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So the car wasn't actually meant to be a part of the show or was that just like a specific scene that you're talking about?
I think what happened was we did play around a lot with – on set mucking about. Have I still got you guys? And and as we were mucking about, some of the writers would come in and see stuff that we were doing between scenes. And when they saw that, they went, oh, we could put that into a script. And I think that's maybe what happened with the car.
Because
I think that was a David Witt script. I think David. Yeah. David used to love Keith, so he used to write him into a lot of scenes.
I think I'd do the same thing. I think he's my cult favorite.
He is. I must say. Well, we did vote on him, didn't we? Absolutely the cult favorite.
Yeah. I had so much fun with Keith. And just to let you know, I think it was a question. Yes, he was always stoned because he'd had too many complaints. and as
you mean he was or the puppeteer was?
No. Just the puppet. Just okay. Keith. And I did. I don't know when his overalls came in. He had a set of overalls, which I actually still have. Yeah. The overalls actually moved to another puppet character that I do with another friend. But in the pocket of the overalls at the back, there was a TAB horse's guide. Front section, in one of the pockets, was a condom, and in the other packet, someone found a Japanese little packet of what it would call gummies, because Keith was always going, "Where are my gummies? Who's got my gummies?
That's so cool.
That's awesome.
That's the best intro ever.
The most important question that I have is the continuity expert. I mean, that blew my mind. Is that a thing in most of the TV shows you worked on, that they have a standalone continuity expert?
Yeah. And they you know, a continuity person is incredibly important, because you never shoot the scenes in order. You know, you shoot all the scenes for the shed or whatever it might be, and then you go to shoot something else. So you got to make sure that, you know, if someone's running out of the shed with a handkerchief in their left hand, when they run into the Robbie and Leonard's place, you know, it's still in that hand, or whatever they're wearing is in that way. And so I think there's one episode, I don't know, I can't remember what it was, because it was actually funny, was might have been a blackout or something, and there's a whole lot of candles around the place. And because of the way it was shot, you know, they'd light the candles, and you didn't think so. As soon as you finish a scene, some of the standby guys would run around, put the candles out, and then when you go to do another take, they'd light the candles. And if you watch it, the candles between scenes, because of the order it was shot, would sort of go down, up, down, up, down, up. Only became obvious at the end. But, yeah, it's a very, very important job.
See, we're stupid. So I was always thinking continuity is between episodes, not in the episode itself. I never really thought about the fact that you guys would shoot out of order, and there'd have to be someone's job to actually make sure it's all flowing and, you know, that it actually stacks up together. That makes a lot more sense now.
I don't think there's actually any continuity between episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
No, because we were trying to figure out, what's this continuity expert doing? We don't understand.
No, there's no continuity between episodes. I know that.
Cool. All right, well, I think we'll move. Oh, yeah, go on,
Spinny. One last question I have to ask this. Do the Ferals exist in the same universe as Bananas in Pyjamas? You've been involved in both. Do you reckon they're in the same universe? Because that'll kill my theory.
There was an episode in Feral TV, which I know. See, when you mention Feral TV, there's this... people don't like Feral TV who love the Ferals, and, you know, there's people who love Feral TV but don't like the Ferals. There was, you know, for us who worked on the show, it was just a continuity between the two. It was just disappointing that the actors weren't there. But there is one episode where Raddus actually says something about having this room full of pajamas and a room full of bananas, and what the heck am I going to do with them? You know, you'd never make any money out of bananas and pajamas. That was about the only connection between the two. But Emma, who did Mixie, she worked on Bananas from the beginning. She was Maggie the Magpie. Oh, wow. And then when the Bananas ended up having the farmyard animals, which Gregory and Peck the chickens, Dolly the sheep, and Camembert the cow, and Pedro the pig. So we did those together. But, yeah, no continuity between the two shows, sadly.
Oh, destroying our universe, Bill.
I'll have to take it upon myself to make that connection.
Although we're shot in the same studio, if that helps.
There we go. That's all I need. It's done.
You'll probably, as you listen to the show, hear all of our theories around... Yeah. All the little things inside of the show, whether Robbie and Leonard were related in any way, because it was like a little line in one episode.
Oh, yeah.
They said, oh, we're going to go back to the family, like when they're going Christmas. So, yeah.
Well,
and obviously, this show apart. We have a, you know, a big thing about Lenny having it in for Robbie. So, that we didn't want that to be true.
Well, at the time, I think in series one, Joe and Robbie, Miguel and Kylie actually were going out for a little while.
Oh, wow.
I did not know that.
But, you know, that was never put into the show. So there was nothing there. Brian, who was Leonard, Brian was always asleep on set. So, you know, there was no chance for him doing anything. I think you might have seen in one of the goof tapes where there's a bit of an argument going on between Kylie and Brian, which was a dead serious argument that was going on, though, and it was all over whether the blinds should be up or down. And it's funny when I sort of – you look at that and think, man, that was – it's come across quite funny in the goof tape, but it was a really heated argument. But that was about – I think that was the only argument that was ever had on set.
Yeah, it seemed like a very positive set. It was that sort of always the way?
Oh, yeah. Both seasons? It was. It was such fun. And the crew – we always had the same crew and they always wanted to work on the show. And I occasionally bump into a couple of the camera people that are still there that haven't been – given their handshakes and said goodbye by the ABC, but they loved it, and it was like a family. You know, you go in and it was different because there were no egos, because none of us, apart from Brian, who'd been on a show called GP, none of us had really worked in the industry, so we're all sort of nobodies. And you know, being a puppeteer, nobody knows who you are anyway, so you can hide. And
well, apart from three crazy guys that are going because right. whenever you're mentioning people's names, we're all aware of who they are, which is kind of scary.
It was funny because I go the you know I keep in touch with Kylie, Emma, who's Mixie. She and I have known each other. The story is that I actually went to visit her the day she was born in hospital because our parents were very good friends.
Oh wow!
And then David, who's Radis, I used to keep it, you know, we'd see him and Terry on the Dolmio commercials. So the only person that sort of didn't fit into it, Kylie went off, she married an American guy, and so she's in LA, I think, LA? But she works for one of the zoos over there.
Oh, wow.
And she hasn't changed a bit. She's still as gorgeous as she was 20 years ago. So the only person we haven't seen is Brian, and then occasionally you'll see a commercial. And I was watching TV on the weekend, and I saw he's in another commercial. I'm trying to remember.
We saw that.
It was a gas commercial, like a petrol commercial.
Oh, yeah, for Velocity. Yeah, yeah. That's what it was, Velocity, yeah.
It's so scary because, like, I was watching TV, and I'm like, is that Brian? Is that Brian? So I took a video of it and sent it to the guys.
No, you said, is that Lenny? Is that?
I didn't say that. Okay, I did.
Yeah. So he's still working in the industry. So
yeah. Well, we'd love to have people on, like, because for us, we want to sort of go through all the episodes and put it on the internet and sort of have it as a record. So we're going to try to reach out to as many people as possible and, you know, have quick interviews or whatever people were wanting to do.
We should do
it. Because I think it's a really classic show.
A reunion. I've enjoyed awesome. It.
So a reunion.
Yeah.
That's what you said. Yeah.
I'm not sure if that will ever happen, but okay, so I want to move on to the episode, but before I do that, I want to give you a plug. So we haven't discussed this beforehand, but I saw that you're a photographer, and I especially want to plug this because I love your website's URL, the actual domain name. It's very funny. I don't think the guys know it. So if anyone who is listening needs, and they're in Sydney, and they need a wedding, social, corporate event photographer, get in touch with Mel at heapsofphotos.com. See what he did there?
Pun of the word heap, eh?
You have to have a fun name. And then, come on, it's a feral doing your photos. What could go wrong?
It could be your worst nightmare, fellas.
Have you ever been requested to do the voices at a wedding?
No, I a couple of the corporate clients I've worked for, I've done voices for them occasionally, and it's amazing who you bump into who actually watched the show and loved it, and so it's always fun to bring out the voices.
Fantastic.
awesome. All right, so are you happy to dive in the episode with us?
Yeah, I'd love to. If you guys want me to hang around, I'm happy to do that.
Of course. You can do the rest of the season with us if you want. No, kidding.
No, then I can't enjoy listening to you guys.
Enjoy, is that what you call it? Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
That was a nice step around that question. Good job.
So the episode opens with Radis you know, hoeing into a piece of cheese and Joe in his corner. And it really made me think of Paulie from Rocky, and he's his trainer and he's getting there and, you know, trying to pump him up and get him going. So I thought it was quite funny how Raddus was eating in this scene. And then the line, do you guys remember the line that he actually said where he wants to get more cheese and Darren's like, okay, yeah, we'll go pay for it. I'll go buy it. And Raddus just jumps over to him. He's like, no. Don't buy it, Durbrain. Snaffle it. I've never actually heard the word snaffle before. Do you know what the word snaffle is?
I thought I misheard it. I'm like, no, it couldn't be snaffle. I'm cursing you, I didn't Google it.
I don't know.
I assume it's to steal, like, right? It was snaffle. Yeah, to steal. To pinch, yeah. To steal it.
Okay, to pinch, yeah. Steal.
Underhanded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, there's something interesting about this. This is the first time you actually see Raddus with a fake hand. I don't know if you notice it. There was the puppet goddess's hand hitting there so she could hold the cheese so he could eat it.
Oh. So these are insights that we're getting into this episode are amazing. So the plot line of this episode and how it's set up is that Raddus is going to enter into an eating competition and he's training for this eating competition. And we see that Joe is organizing the eating competition, but also training Raddus. It's questionable ethics there in terms of being impartial.
Well, there's money involved. Those two are best friends.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I love them.
Did you guys catch the awesome t-shirts that Raddus and Darren were wearing?
The champ ones.
So I caught them late in the piece.
So it's easy to see in a follow-up scene, but Raddus has got the champ t-shirt. And Darren has the chump t-shirt, which is brilliant.
It's a really good t-shirt.
And then we flip to Lenny and Robbie, who Lenny, again, is helping out Joe, and Robbie is helping out Joe. I never have really understood why Lenny and Robbie help out Joe constantly, even though they're kind of like, do they like him? Do they dislike him? They seem to pity him more than anything.
You know, that I'm pretty sure that Joe actually owns their place as well, so they've got to pay him rent. So it's a way of keeping on side with Joe.
Is that true?
I think that's right.
This could be inside information that we never knew.
Oh. I'm pretty sure that was what it was.
This changes everything. we got to go back to season one and do it all over again.
You've got to re-record.
I might have to go back and check that one as well.
Okay, well, I guess that does make sense. They're neighbours. I remember when he bought the... It's so sad how much I know about the show now.
You know more than I do.
So, yeah, they did... I remember when he bought the place, because I can remember the first episode and they were, like, debating about this guy who's buying it, but I never thought that maybe it was one big block or something and he had two houses on it and a shed. Oh, wow, that's really interesting. I thought in this episode, just to call it out in general, Lenny was like real, not bizarre, but he was just acting really funny throughout the whole episode. I picked up more things the second time I watched it. Yeah, what did you think, Swinny?
I'm the same. I picked up a few things I didn't notice because I had to watch it again because I lost my notes. I reckon this episode has probably had some of his best little moments that are just fantastic.
Which is, little bits where he'll, like, say something really silly. Like, in this scene, he goes, I just wanted to call this out, he goes, well, the mouth is where all the action happens, in describing his mouth cam, which made me laugh. And in this episode, the B-plot is Robbie, who is after her dentist, and who is also going to be the judge of the cheese-eating competition. Not sure really how that works.
What a twist.
There's a lot of insider trading. What would you call this?
That's true. There's a lot of mixed responsibilities in this episode, isn't there?
It's called Cheap ABC, I think is what it was. Couldn't have two people in it.
I know. I noticed there's rarely ever more than one cameo in the same episode.
Speaking of the same episode, I forgot to ask this question. Was there ever a scene, because we're asking this in season one, where you have both Moddy and Keith in the same scene?
Yeah, the rule was they weren't meant to be together in the same scene, but there was one episode where they're actually having this big argument.
And it does get a little bit confusing when I have to talk to Moddy. No, it's not that confusing, Keith, you silly. Oh, goodness me.
that's a good switch. It's amazing.
It is confusing.
So, yeah, my kids were
loved it when I used to argue with the different puppet characters I have. So. Actually, I didn't have kids when we were doing it. So,
did your kids actually? Did they watch The Ferrells?
No. My daughter, she was 3 when I started doing Bananas.
Okay.
So she came on the set for Bananas, and I used to do. We did morning breakfast, morning television. Emma had Mixie doing morning TV. And I had a puppet character with her called Joe the Kangaroo, who is her next-door neighbour. And so, yeah, my kids got to see that and come on that. So they've watched a bit of the episodes of The Ferrells. I think my son's getting to the age now where I might have to introduce him to it again.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to watch it. Just show him, get him to this podcast. That's all he needs.
Either way, we've got to corrupt him somehow.
It's a weird thing, I think, for my teenage kids to go, my dad does puppets. He plays with dolls. The only cool thing that I've got away with that I've heard them talking about was when I did, and he's a big name drop, I got to work on the Wolverine movie.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
So I did the bear at the beginning of the movie.
Wow.
So that was a bit of fun, 3 days out in the bush in Oberon. Filming 30 seconds of a film.
That was the latest one, because obviously they did 2 Wolverine movies, so that was the most recent one, was it?
Yeah, the one where he goes back to Japan.
Ah, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. No, I've seen that one, yeah. It's
good. So a lot of that was shot in Australia. So, yeah, it was talking about continuity. That was the very last scene for the entire – setup that they did for that entire movie. That was that scene, and it came in about the first 10 minutes of the entire movie. So
yeah, I remember it at the start of the film. It's funny, yeah. Like obviously, I got no idea about film and cinema and stuff like that, and how they make it. But
yeah,
I guess it's all sort of timing, schedules, budgets, all that kind of stuff. So
I feel a strong connection because I've been in movies as well. I was on the set of Ghost Rider. I had a very important role. I had to stand in front of a door while a stunt driver drove down the street. Unfortunately, didn't get a credit, so I'm
We don't know yet. You may be in the extended credits on IMDb. We may be. We're just not willing to pay the money to open that up.
Flipping back to the episode again.
Yeah.
So in this scene, we have Keith, and he's watching Radis.
It's Keith.
I'm not going to be able to keep this straight. We have Keith here, who he's watching Radis bash his head against the tree because Radis has damaged his tooth. And another thing that we've noticed in this show is bashing your head solves a lot of problems, or so the characters think at least. There's a great line by Keith here about being a protected species that I quite liked.
Yeah.
And this is where I noticed the champ versus chump thing. Then what do we do? Then we flip back to Mixie and Moddy, who are cleaning out the fridge, trying to find some cheese for Radis. And then we learn about how Robbie loves this dentist named Brad Ivory. I don't know about you guys, but I felt like they really wanted the audience to know that the guy's name's Brad Ivory.
Yeah.
Did you guys pick up on that?
They did. Well, there was a big thing about having really corny names in the show.
Or like Joe King.
Well, you know what his middle name is.
No, we don't know, actually.
Oh, yes. It's unofficial. His middle name was Wayne.
I like just the levels of understanding as we went through that joke. I like it. we have Lenny coming up with some digital cheese cams, mouth cams, stomach cams, all different types of cams.
You've got to remember, this was way before those sort of cameras actually came out. So
yeah, so he's... That's revolutionary when you think about it.
Lenny invented the GoPro.
He did.
He actually did have
20 years before it came out.
Essentially, what would be a GoPro? Exactly. What else do we have in this? I found it really weird how when Joe heard about this guy Brad Ivory, that he knew him like straight off the bat, and that he was one of his sponsors, even though we've never heard of this guy before, and I guess it's going on about that continuity again and the lack thereof.
In this scene, when I was taking notes the second time I watched it,
yeah,
I was about to write down, Robbie's got it bad for this dentist or something, and I'm like, no, that's not very good. That's not very PC. And then I forgot that Joe goes, oh, you got it bad, girl. I'm like, oh.
Damn,
I even
girl.
Thought it was too un-PC for this podcast and said in the show.
I did like that as well. I think, out of the human characters, probably Joe is our favorite. And I did like that line. I thought that was hilarious. It's very funny in the show.
Yeah.
So now, yeah, we flip back to Darren bandaging up Raddus. And I thought this was funny because, like, this is a theme that we often talk about, how it's... The show often scares kids or jokes about these type of things, and he's talking about the dentist and how horrible the dentist is, and you want to stay away from him. They're evil. They're out to get you.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite funny, but yeah, this is probably why I haven't been to the dentist.
I was going
to
say, I've got a cavity epidemic in Australia.
Now, Raddus said, "Don't say the D word," and I thought to myself, "Is there a D word?" So I actually went onto Google thinking, are there any words that people consider to be the D word? Because obviously you've got the C word, you've got the F word, you've got the N word.
I think there's a D word. I know what it is.
Is that the one that's not penis, but it's like penis? Because I can't say the word.
No, it's Darren.
That's it.
So I was very disappointed. The results, I got divorce, death. Apparently people call those a D word.
Oh,
I got really? A song called The D Word by Toni Braxton and Babyface.
Okay.
I got a global community of documentary makers. But I couldn't actually find much else than that. But I did find one that a website that said, Why Dogmas Matters. Now, that's what I read it as. Okay. Dogmas. I'm thinking, is that like Christmas with dogs? And then I go, oh, wait. Dogmas, as in the religious dogmas. Yeah, and I'm like, yeah. Oh, now I'm disappointed. There's not a website telling me why dogmas actually matters. So, I was a little disappointed.
This is why I chuckle when I listen to your podcast, because this is you go into depth about what the D word means. The D word means dentist.
Spoiler alert! Thanks, Mal.
It was like that joke. What was the joke? What's the difference between? Something and a hole in the ground, wasn't it?
Yes,
a chocolate covered kangaroo and a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
What is it? Because we still don't know.
A hole in the ground.
I hate that. That
came about. I think I actually laughed out loud on the train. That came about because Emma, she tells these really weird jokes, and that was one of her really weird jokes that had no meaning. It didn't mean a thing, and it was like.
Damn it,
that's coming on the show. So it was an in-joke, really. It was an in-joke. Wow. It was no joke. So we all laugh. And then I was laughing about you guys trying to figure out what this joke actually meant.
I can't believe that we've actually got more information, but yet we still don't know the answer.
Correct.
There is no source of it even.
Oh, it's just painful. Yeah, I'm just going off the charts here. So this is also where we find out that Raddus has actually gambled all of the Ferrell's money that he will win this competition, which is what won for the last, I can't actually remember, 3 years, I think it was, 3 years running. Do you remember, Swinny?
It's the fifth annual event, and I think it said 3 years. I can't remember the exact thing.
Okay. So this is the kind of level of detail that we want, Mel.
Yeah, yeah. It was all made up.
I'm just trying to think if there was anything else that was funny. I mean, there was a wind-up punch from Moddy into Raddus.
I love those punches.
Yeah, they're awesome. I don't want to ruin it, but there's a scene later where she gets punch shy. Yeah. We'll cover it when we get up to it.
The Ferrells, when they grabbed Raddus, and it's like they were going to torture him with a chisel. That was really fun.
Oh, yeah, that bit. Yeah, that was this scene, wasn't it? Yeah, that's right. So, like, how did they get away with those kind of scenes, Mel? Because that was extreme. It's like, let's hold him down, and it's like, I've always wanted to do this. That is the worst impression ever.
It was horrible.
How did we get away with it? I don't know. It just was like, that's what you do in the cartoons. That's what they used to do. You know, you'd bring out a chisel. You bring out,
as long as you don't say the word damn, then you're all good.
Yeah, yeah.
And bring out that dang chisel.
You know, I can't remember if we bought out chainsaws, but maybe that was something else I've been thinking of. But yeah, you know.
We've got that to look forward to, clearly.
I know, chainsaws, wow. I guess, I never really thought about that, that it's kind of like impersonating a cartoon. But I think it is really different. And this is, I've said this to the guys a lot of times, that if I was into filmmaking, I'd like to make a horror film using puppeteering rather than computer graphics, because there's something about the classic horror films that when you're watching it, you know that, you know, sure, there's manipulation, but it's not computer-generated manipulation. You know that people have physically done things, and it's somehow just scarier. Like, The Exorcist, to me, is a great example of this, where I still feel like that's the scariest movie I've seen.
I'm disappointed. I thought you meant that the horror movie featured puppets. Like, they were there was a puppet serial killer, and then puppet victims, and there'd be one. Foam flying that's everywhere.
That's never been covered before, a puppet serial killer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Okay, and then, yeah, this is where the Ferrells, upon knowing now that their money is on the line, they really need to fix Raddus's tooth. So they drag Raddus to Robbie's place, and then after, you know, real big prodding, and they're basically like, oh, you're studying medicine, you can help him. And she's like, oh, I'm not a doctor, but, oh, okay, or I'm not a dentist, oh, yeah, I'll help him anyway.
I'm not a brain surgeon, I'll just look at these charts and tell you what's
I know, that's what I thought of as well. There's a lot of that in this show where it's just like, the characters should not be doing this. It's completely unethical, but it's like, oh, well, whatever.
Yep.
Is that how you got your degree, Luke? You do have a degree,
pretty
right?
Pretty much. I just say that I have a degree in pretty much the same.
It's science of something, right?
Yeah, exactly. I do like how they coax Raddus to actually get his mouth inspected. Moddy slams on his foot, and then Mixie jams like a stick to wedge his mouth open. I thought that was quite amusing. And what was it? Yeah, so Robbie just said, oh, you've got a cavity and you need to go to a dentist. I think I wrote a note something like, oh, really? Thank you for that, Robbie. We didn't realize that. Was there anything else in this scene that you guys noticed or thought was funny or...
So you didn't notice that the stick being put in was actually footage that was shot in reverse?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. So each time the stick goes... Awesome. Yeah. Well, how can a puppet put a stick in another puppet's mouth?
When you say it like that, Mel.
It's easier to pull out something. So, yeah, that close-up of the mouth stick going in, it's in reverse.
Wow, that's blown my mind. Is that, like, quite a common thing that occurs throughout the show? Because I think not one time have we ever thought anything like that or discussed anything like that. Is it common across the show?
There's a lot of, I wouldn't call it trick photography, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you have to think about how you're going to shoot it so that you can make it work.
Okay.
You know, like... suddenly popping up with a baseball bat and all of that stuff. There's a lot of people running around at the bottom of a scene that you don't, bottom of a shot that you don't see because they're carrying props around for you.
And just on that, how many people worked on the show? Like ballpark?
Total?
Like 50, 100, 40?
I think on set, when we were on set, there was probably about 30 on set. And then you would have had the wardrobe people. And then the editors, and then the so you're probably about 50, I think, all up.
Oh, wow, okay,
that's amazing. Okay. That's more than I thought of.
I think there was a publicity person, but we never even saw them, which is probably part of the reason that Ferrell's never took off. I'm not bitter in any way about that.
I genuinely think, and especially now going back and watching every episode. You know, it's always hits and misses, but there's some genuine, like, very funny, good humor, and appealing to that, you know, 12, 13-year-old kid would love it. I was really surprised, because I remember growing up, I was around that age, and sort of when it went to Ferrell's TV, I was really like, what is this? I don't like this. What happened to the original show? But, yeah, I don't think we even really covered that, but... What was the, like, when did you guys find out that it was like, oh, no, we're not going to do the Ferrells anymore, we're going to do Ferrells TV? Was it close to the end of season 2, or was it just the year after?
Oh, I can't remember. It was It was a long time ago.
It was just like, this is what it's going to be.
It was a long time ago.
It was pretty much, it might have been because, I've got no idea really why. It probably was a budget thing, to be honest, with the ABC. I've got no idea why, and I can't remember. I think we were told we'd be doing another series, but it wouldn't be the same as it has been.
So the Ferals are trying to convince Raddus to extract his tooth and say about how the Tooth Fairy will come. So now the next scene that we see is Darren dressed up as the Tooth Fairy, and the Ferals are trying to convince him to go to the dentist. I thought this was really funny, but I felt like this could have been a lot funnier. I don't know how to say. I think whenever the show goes off on a real tangent and goes real fantastical, they're the best parts of the show.
Yeah.
So, for instance, the Mary Poppins thing, I think that's still our favorite part of the entire show so far, because it's just so out there and outrageous and bizarre and just like crazy. So I was kind of hoping for that.
Terry did enjoy being dressed up as the Tooth Fairy, or Darren being dressed up as the Tooth Fairy. A little bit.
I didn't seem to get into it.
I can't remember if it was around Mardi Gras time we actually shot this, but there were a number of people in the cast, and a few of the crew who used to actually take part in the Mardi Gras. And Terry was one of those people who used to enjoy that time of year. And I think when it came to dressing up Darren as a queen, as a fairy, he. He was actually able to, let's say, how do I say this politically correctly? I think Terry enjoyed it a lot more than some of us would have.
That's awesome.
Terry was a great, Terry's a dear friend, and we used to bag him out severely to begin with because he was very much a monitor hog. We had one color monitor on set that we could look at, and it was a big, I think it was a huge 40-inch color monitor, and the rest of them were these tiny little black and white things, and Terry always had to have the big color monitor to watch to see stuff.
Had the most colorful puppet, probably.
Yeah, so well, it was funny, you know, watching that scene. I had a good chuckle seeing Darren dressed up as a fairy.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny.
And you did notice that his wand was actually toothbrushes, didn't you?
Oh, I didn't notice
that. Oh, no. I
was wondering about what the one was. Low it looked really weird.
240p, yeah. Because I was wondering as well, what is this?
And again, I like how he gets hit on the head. It's always about smashing people in the head. It solves every problem.
So that was another classic one where Terry's running around with it, and then Tina would have been underneath underneath the set. And so she would have been waving the wand around for Terry at that point.
Oh.
And then she would grab Raddus's hand and she would put the two rods together. So there would have been three rods, the one with the toothbrush wand on it and Raddus's hand with his rod on it and Darren's hand with his rod on it. And she would have passed it between the two, and then she would have done the clunk on Darren's head because David would have been underneath the box that he was lying in, hidden from the rest of it.
We just take it for granted that it's puppets doing this. It's amazing. Yeah, it goes into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. After we got in contact, I said, like, this. Exactly. Like, after we got in contact, the second time I watched the episode, which was today, I actually was starting to think about the art of what you do and sort of thinking, hang on a second, how are you doing that? You've only got two hands. It's not even possible. Like, even with any contraption. So, because Tina for us is known as the puppet doctor.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we can adopt the puppet goddess. Like, for us, I think it's always going to be the puppet doctor.
Doctor.
We didn't realize that she was actually participating in the actual filming and like moving the actual puppets around as well. So,
So there were lots of scenes where there were complex scenes where we'd actually have other people helping out with things. I mean, most of the time it's the actual puppeteer where you do the two hands and the mouth and you're doing it all.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was just the skill learning how to manipulate the rods to make the hands do the different things. And, you know, I learned how to punch and, you know, do a jab and a left hook pretty quickly.
Well, yeah, actually, that's true. So with that kind of stuff, do you practice that? Because Moddy is, throughout the season and throughout the series, punching people, particularly Raddus. Would you actually like practice that at home or on set before shooting?
We had a long rehearsal time for the shows, and the ABC had a big rehearsal room with I think it was their dance studio, and had mirrors there, so you'd be in front of the mirrors in your practice. So yeah, there was a heap of practice that went into it to make it look as realistic as you could.
And it does. It looks really awesome. Like, there was even another scene in this episode, actually, where Darren does something stupid. I think as he's talking about his mind. It might be actually up ahead, so
oh, yeah.
I'm going to ruin it. But and then the expression on Moddy and Mixie, where they're sort of, like, putting their arms on their hips, like, oh, you're such an idiot. Like, yeah. You know, that kind of expression. I noticed that the second time I watched it. I thought, oh, that's pretty good. Like... And I think Swinney's picked up on things like that in the past where, like, Darren's tail will be wagging or
yeah.
just, like, little effects that and little nuances that it's kind of like maybe you don't need to do it, but it's kind of the art of it.
Yeah.
Whenever
you see Darren's tail wagging, that's Tina. That was the puppet dog.
Oh, really?
Every time.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we're learning so much from this.
she should have got a credit. You know, tail wagger.
Just like Darren Tail and Puppet Doctor.
We have the power to get that heard, so here we go.
Exactly, we're putting it out there. So the next scene, you know, it's the next sort of trick or next scheme that the Ferals have to remove Radis's tooth is the oldest trick. I've actually had this happen to me, not in terms of a surprise, but where you put a string around a tooth and you slam the door.
Yeah.
So Moddy, you know, leads the instructions, says, Darren, put the string on the tooth and give me the signal and I'll slam the door. Darren does this and proceeds to get his own tooth removed instead of Radis's tooth.
It was a really nice touch that they removed the tooth, the iconic tooth from his puppet for this episode. Be interested to see if it's in next episode, they've reattached it again.
Same as
the size of that tooth, though, was whopping.
Huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And the sad thing is, we've watched this so carefully that there was one part where they said, oh, it's bigger. Moddy actually said, it's bigger than your brain.
Yeah.
And I thought back to the brain scans that are in that episode. I'm like, yeah, it's probably right. I remember his brain was like a peanut.
That was a classic Mixie line, too, wasn't it? It's the size of a peanut.
It was.
I can't do Mixie's voice.
Yeah, it's like when I try to do your voices. not that bad, though.
Was this the scene where Moddy calls Radis a gutless wonder?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know if she called Radis a gutless wonder, but I just thought that's such a good Australian slang insult that I just rarely hear these days. And what it did, it gave me an idea. So yep. We often talk about Mike and his, you know, his faux Russian heritage, which is not Russian.
Close enough.
Anyway. So Mike, you've lived in this country for a very long time now, but I'm giving you a chance to completely nationalise yourself.
Okay.
I want to give you a very quick slang.
Does it mean okay. I got to eat Vegemite and go to Centrelink or...?
No, I think you're already doing that, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, I'm on my way.
Anyway.
So, a very, very quick slang quiz. It's 5 slang words, and you need to tell me what they are, okay?
Okay.
These are pretty easy, but if you get all 5 right, then you're 100% Australian. That's it. Okay.
This is the new citizenship
test. He's stinky, dry, true blue.
Okay, Mike. The first word, ambo.
Ambulance.
Correct. Real. Second word, chunder.
Chunder.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. You'll be spewing if you get this one wrong, mate.
I have no idea.
No.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm a bad Australian.
You got that one wrong?
Okay, so I'm only 50% Australian so far.
That's vomit, as Keith so...
spewing.
But see, I wasn't in Melbourne when you guys had those spewing sessions because he kept getting drunk.
Anyway, third question.
Okay, the third one is Savo with an S.
Stavo with an S.
No, Savo.
Savo.
Yeah.
Man, you said these were going to be easy.
This one's, I got to admit, this one's a bit of a cop out.
I actually don't know what this is.
It's not like a service station, is it?
No, that's your survey.
Okay, you know what Arvo means, yeah? Arvo.
Yeah, I know what Arvo is, yeah.
What is it?
The afternoon.
Okay, Savo is this afternoon. It's like,
when you say it like that, I wouldn't even get it.
See, and yeah. He was born in Australia.
I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one. All right. Sambo.
Sambo. Is that like an amp?
Back to Russia.
Back to Mother Russia. I have no idea. I'm just going to go drink vodka and cry.
Sambo means sandwich.
Really?
And the last one is
Wait, hang on.
Glosso.
Did you know that one, Luke? Be honest.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, right.
I do. I did know that one. Okay.
The last one
is blotto. Blotto.
Dono.
That means to get really drunk. So
I've never even heard that. You guys never used that language.
Now you could say you're going to have a sambo, the savo, and if you get blotto, you'll be in the ambo.
And you'll have to have a chunder afterwards.
Spew, yeah.
All right, Mike, I forgot to mention there was a caveat, is that if you got a certain amount wrong, you actually have to renounce your Australian citizenship. So I apologise. I'll be sending you forms in the mail and we'll be deporting you.
But they'll execute me if I go back. Pretty sure that's what they do to deserters.
Okay. All right. God. Thank you, guys.
I don't think Keith would have approved of that performance.
No, I feel very ashamed. What's that, Keith?
You're not a native, that's for sure.
All right. So this is back to the episode. I'm so off track right now. So we see the graphics for the International Cheese Chew-Off. For me, I don't know about you guys, but I thought this poster artwork looked nightmarish.
Luna Park.
Yeah, it did look a bit like Luna Park. That's a good point. Yeah.
And it was used in some of the segues really nicely. Did you guys notice that?
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah. The what do they call them? Wipes. The film wipes, right?
Yeah, transitions.
Transitions, yeah. Or we can ask the source right here. Normally we're just debating for 20 minutes about what things are.
And then getting it completely wrong. Goddamn hole in the ground 15 episodes later and we still don't know it.
I think we would have at least talked about the continuity expert for about 30 minutes to an hour in the previous episodes and we were completely wrong about what the purpose of that person was.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, again, yeah, Raddus doesn't want to go to the dentist and they're all trying to get him over there. So then we see in the next scene that Moddy and they've all conspired against him and they've tied him up.
Sorry, you missed one of my favourite parts in the episode.
All right, what was it?
When they're going, you smell like chicken, like your chicken and whatnot. And Joe goes, I don't know the exact line, okay? Give me a break.
Yeah, go on.
Joe goes, you smell chicken to Lenny. And it's very quick, but Lenny sniffs and then goes to smell his armpit and it quickly cuts.
What?
Yeah.
He kind of looks towards his armpit as if he's going to smell his armpit to see if he smells like chicken.
Oh, wow.
Okay, Mel, I don't remember this.
That's a Brianism. Brian was very clever at that sort of stuff. You know, that none of that was scripted. Brian just would have done that.
Oh, wow.
It's very quick. Like, you have to... Like, he doesn't completely go all the way into the pit.
But he doesn't go all the way into
the
pit.
I think Brian gets... sorry, Brian. I think Lenny gets a bit confused because I think sometimes, you know, he wants to be the clown, plays a sort of a bit of a an idiot character, but he's meant to be this, you know, incredibly intelligent scientist who can invent, you know, technology that's not even going to be around for the next 15 years. So, yeah, that was a classic Brianism, that one. You know, I had a good chuckle when I saw that again.
I think out of all the characters, Lenny's the most inconsistent, yeah. Where it's sort of like Joe's pretty consistent. Like all the characters, I think, are relatively consistent within their band. But you're right. Like Lenny, some episodes he wants to be a magician and then gets the opportunity to be a magician and then goes, nah, forget about it. I don't want to do that. Or yeah, like you're saying, he's an idiot, but he's not really an idiot. He's inventing these amazing things.
Yeah.
Like a digital fart machine. I mean, come on. There's a Nobel Prize right there. all right. So yeah, we have Radis, who is being attended to the dentist. Well, one thing that I noticed in this scene is Lenny is, like, insanely close to Robbie. Like, he's just, like, I don't know, maybe it's because, like, what you were telling us, Mel, that they're up on those, what are they called, the lifts?
On
maybe he doesn't have much space and he has to actually get close to her or something?
Yeah, I think on, yeah, they're standing on risers and I think sometimes that's what it was. But there's also, because it was a multi-camera shoot, you know, we used four cameras and sometimes... And to cover four cameras, sometimes you've actually got to stand close to actually be in all the different shots.
Oh, because the angles and everything.
Yeah. So you know, most of the stuff these days is shot single camera. So, you know, you set it for one camera, you get that shot, and then you move the camera and get the reverse angle, whatever you want to do, or get a close-up of the person. But the way that it was done with the ABC, you know, when we did the Ferals, it was all multi-camera shoots. Which made it a lot more complex, but a lot easier to do an entire scene and sort of get into the flow of a scene without having to stop start to get your, you know, different lines. And it also meant that you could improvise a little bit more because it'd be covered by all the different cameras. So you, I think that's, you know, things like Brian sniffing his armpits when he's called a chicken and, I'll wait till we get up to it, but there's another thing that he did in this episode as well. So.
Oh, so you're all on top of the format. Yes.
I'm a fan.
That blows my mind.
And one thing I didn't say is that we finally saw the dentist. So we've been hearing about Mr. Brad Ivory, Dr. Brad Ivory, I think you can call yourself if you're a dentist, which I don't really believe in. And he looks insane, like, but they make him look insane with the googly glasses and everything like that. I did like the line from Mixie where she says, now is a great time to ask him out. And they're in like a dodgy shed doing some kind of illegal backyard operation to an unwilling patient. The perfect time for romance.
Is that the part Robbie goes, oh shit, do you want to go grab a coffee?
That's a callback.
Yeah, I think you need to get late into our episodes to get that one.
Was there anything else in the scene before I move on? I mean, like, the dentist gets his finger bit off by Radis. I probably should have mentioned that, but was there anything else that was funny?
Teeth glint of Brad when he's like, hello, and then it just has a sound effect and there's this visual effect of his teeth glinting.
I do like that about the show. Mm. They love to throw in those little things. Okay, so because Radis still has his tooth problem, they've decided to get Mixie to dress up as Radis to compete in the competition, which I thought was pretty cool. And you see this awesome montage of Mixie preparing for the bout, for the cheese-eating competition. I thought that was really funny and
it's
cute.
It's pure Rocky IV montage.
Yeah, I was going to say, I had the Rocky soundtrack as well.
It was awesome.
Well, a version of the Rocky soundtrack.
I wanted to ask, because isn't there some concept in film and television where it's kind of like, I can't remember the name of it, but it's sort of almost, they call it likeys or sound-alikes, or there's like a concept where, okay, it's that song, but make it sound like it, but different enough to pass, any copyright infringement.
There is something you can do along those lines, but also the ABC has a special deal with APRA where they can sort of play music, pretty much any music they want to do.
Oh. Really?
They pay a licensing fee.
Okay.
And the only complications for that is when you start selling that product overseas. You've got to pay the musos again later.
Because of the licensing.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds insane, but before making this podcast, we were actually debating about using sort of any clip from the Ferals or no clips or... Because, you know, we don't want to run afoul of anything. I mean, in the context, the show is not available anywhere to buy. No. So I'm not sure if we're cutting in anyone's profit, but...
Oh, I haven't seen a royalty check from the Ferals for a long time.
And certainly not the Ferals podcast.
No.
So yeah, I love this scene, and it really linked in with the start scene with Joe as the trainer for Raddus. So I thought that was really well done. Where are we up to? So testing. Good evening, cheese lovers. Oh yeah, so we have Joe, and this is the contest that's starting. We see that Robbie is trying to make moves on Dr. Brad, which I thought was pretty funny. And then it's just like Joe's being a real big enforcer to Raddus. Did you guys notice that? That he's really threatening him and sort of going, you better get
all his money at stake.
Get ready for this.
Joe's about to lose all his money. He doesn't want to lose his money.
That's true.
It was like a reversal of roles from the April Fool's episode where Raddus was acting like the mafioso enforcer, and Joe was the, you know, the person he was trying to hit up for cash. So
yeah, that's true. And again,
this is the scene with another awesome Lenny moment. When Joe asks him about what happened to the cheese cam.
Oh yeah, you know, I didn't notice this until I watched it the second time.
The same, and I'm like, how did I miss this the first time?
I know, because every episode, go on, Sweeney.
I was just going to complete what he said, and Lenny said, "Didn't turn out like I hoped," and then he smiles and he's missing his two front teeth. It was brilliant.
That was another Brian moment. That one. So the line.
So what, he came up with it.
He came up with the tooth, the missing tooth. Yeah.
Oh really?
So it was Black Tack.
I don't know how I missed it when I watched it. Like, to give you kind of some insight, like, we write maybe, I don't know, 100 lines of notes, like, whenever we sort of watching the episode. So sometimes I'm almost like making sure I'm jotting everything down, and
100?
I probably don't get the.
Sheesh.
Well, like, you know, I'm like writing only a couple of words and then pressing enter.
I think
enter.
Luke writes that.
Said lines.
I have three lines. You look like a rat, well, we rock and music, and Long John Rodent. And I have no idea what Long John Rodent even means anymore.
Are you sure you weren't watching some adult parody of the Ferals? Because it didn't sound very good.
Well, okay, we'll dive into that. So what I didn't know about this is that Raddus isn't competing with anyone in person. He's actually competing with international competitors. So one is Long John Rodent, who's from Texas. So he's like a American Raddus from Texas. And the other one is, and I couldn't catch his name, but it's something Lescum.
Yeah, Pierre Lescum.
Oh, is it Pierre Lescum? Okay. So I was trying to work it out what his name could be. And I'm actually thinking, oh, okay, what's the French word for rat? So I look it up, and it's kind of like, I don't know what I expected, but the French word for rat is rat.
Mind blown.
It's one of those moments. I was very impressed that Joe set up what would have been satellite feeds for a live event back then.
He did, yeah.
It wouldn't have been expensive at all.
Well, Lenny had a satellite dish on his head.
Oh, Is that what it was? Is that what it was? Okay. I thought the writing for Pierre... What was it? Pierre Lescum. I thought that writing for that character was quite funny. It was like lots of little lines that were... And lots of little words that were injected. Lots of French humour and taking the piss out of French people. I thought that was pretty fun.
It reminded me a bit of Flight of the Conchords when they do that song that's just all random French words like baguette and croissants.
Gérard Depardieu. Yeah, I love that song. So Raddus is now like fretting because he's watching Mixie fail to eat the cheese where his American and French competitors are getting through it. So he's trying to come up with a solution, and he at this stage uses Keith as a weight to try to dislodge his tooth, but it really just turns into almost a bungee jump.
Yeah.
It's a drop. It's drop
not the last time that Keith gets hung from his branch.
It's already happened a few times that he gets, like, dropped out of the tree. Well,
have you just
funny.
Have you just spoiled how the character gets written out of the show? Because that could be really bad.
Oh, no. Keith never gets written out.
Oh, thank you.
Well, yeah, I did notice that because, like, we haven't watched... I would have watched all the episodes as a kid, I think, but I saw on IMDb that there's a couple of episodes where Raddus doesn't appear. It might be just that IMDb's not up to date.
Yeah. It's definitely not up to date. It's I mean, the ferals were in every episode.
Yep.
Kylie was the one who was slowly written out because her character really didn't develop. I think there were two. I know there were two different puppeteers. And
I noticed that. Yeah,
she did give us one of the best moments of our podcast. So I'm grateful for that. So.
What was that? I don't even remember.
Kyle, as in the kangaroo puppet character.
Costume. Yeah,
yeah.
What was the greatest moment? I can't remember.
The debate whether or not she said rap.
Oh, that's right. Oh, we might be able to get the answer. Might be able to get the answer.
So what was the question?
You will not remember this. This is so, so specific. In this, you know the episode, I'm pretty sure it was the episode where Moddy is the country music singer.
Oh, yes.
And there's a scene where Kylie, who is lamenting the fact that Moddy's career isn't taking off, and she's blaming music that is from America, the urban youth, and we were debating whether it's rap music or black music.
I'd be rap.
Ah.
Do you finally concede that it's rap?
I'll concede. I still hear that she says black music, but I'll concede that it wouldn't make sense if it was black music. I was sure it would be rap music.
I thought Lenny said make love to lots of beautiful women. Turns out he didn't say that.
Okay, so this is like the next scene is one of my favorite scenes is where Raddus, like, he's trying to think of another idea to get rid of his tooth. He bangs Moddy on the head with a tennis racket in trying to, you know, get her angry and punch him in the face. And she winds up and then doesn't go through with it. I thought that was pretty awesome, actually. That made me really chuckle.
Just didn't seem right.
Couldn't go through with it. And then, yeah, like, Raddus is wimping out. He's going to whack himself with a hammer and he doesn't do it. And then actually what happens is that Joe teasing Robbie, she's, you know, reacting to Joe, swings the boom arm and knocks Raddus in the mouth and knocks out his tooth. So that's awesome. A little bit of violence, accidental violence, never hurt anyone. Mm. The final scene is Raddus then going through and cleaning up.
Did you catch that really snide comment by Joe to Robbie?
Yes.
What was it?
But you say it.
Okay, Joe's like, oh, it's hopeless. And Robbie goes, of course you organized it. And Joe just goes, don't get snotty with me just because Brad doesn't fancy you.
But the way he says it as well, it's awesome, and the way that Mick delivers it.
It was like, row, the claws are out.
Jerry.
I mean, like, the final scene where Raddus is, like, catching up and eating all the cheese and ends up winning the competition, I don't really notice anything funny there. Like, I noticed the second time I watched it that when Joe was saying he's taunting them, it was because he actually made, like, a rat face out of the cheese when he was eating it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only noticed that the second time I watched it, actually. But, yeah, I don't know. Did you guys notice anything at the end? Like, for me, it was just kind of like it was an inevitable he's going to catch up and win type of moment, which is exactly rocky. What happened.
Rat.
Yeah, I think it was one of those ones. We're running out of time. Quick, finish up the episode.
Just get to the end.
That happened a few times, yeah.
Well, that actually explains a couple of episodes, yeah.
Monkey Boy, did you catch something in the credits?
Well, I think...
I was going to say, before you jump to the credits, who was named the winner? Do you remember what his name was?
Raddus P. Raddus?
Yes.
Do you know? Oh, we're on top of the...
The P? You know what the P stands for?
Oh, wow. No. I didn't know
it's not Professor, is it?
Surely it's not Professor.
No. It's Pamela.
What is it?
What?
We had to write backstories for all the puppets, and we came up with different names and stuff that would never ever be told to anyone else. And so Raddus has this thing, which we thought would be fun to come out in one episode where, you know, Moddy could stir him and say, Pamela. It was always Raddus, Pamela Raddus.
Wow. And,
you know what Mixies is, don't you?
Nope. No.
Hers is Mixie M. Ptosis.
So we did cover that. Yeah, Myxomatosis. Yeah, and a great Radiohead song as well.
All right,
and that's a very child friendly name. You know,
yeah.
Virus exactly. That killed off millions of rabbits.
So what was Moddy's?
Moddy's full name. It was an acronym for the letters of each one, but her full name was Medigliana Esmeralda Olga Widebottom.
Oh, you know what? We sourced a copy of the Ferrell's Fantastic Fun Book.
Yeah.
That wasn't, Monkey Boy, before we get into it, that wasn't where we talked about it from.
Oh, okay.
We haven't read that. I grabbed that from a Creature Features interview.
Oh, you did, ABC didn't you? Website. Yeah, you did.
So, oh, right.
So,
we're sourcing this from everywhere. Yeah. Now.
and Darren's full name is Darren.
So just like Madonna or Cher, of course. Just Darren.
That was all he could remember.
And did Keith have any additional names?
No, Keith was just Keith. Well, is it Keith?
Oh, can you please do the part where he goes, "You can't threaten me, I'm a protected species"?
You can't threaten me, I'm a protected species.
That's the first line.
Yeah, if I could just have me gummies and go back to sleep, that'd be great, please. It's way past my bedtime.
Oh, so awesome. All right. So we're going to head up to ratings.
I had one thing that blew my mind. I can't find proof of this. Okay, the credits.
All right. Oh, was this the how the puppet doctor or the continuity expert had changed their name?
No.
Go on.
There's a credit. I posted in the link, so I don't know if you want to pass that over to Mal so he can see as well.
Yep.
But in the credits, there is a composer credit for Paul McDermott.
No. Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't find proof that it's the Paul McDermott, as in Doug Anthony All-Stars, Good News Week. Mal, do you know anything about this?
It's not.
Ah, damn.
Sorry.
They just killed your theory within 2 seconds.
I could have dragged it out for a bit longer, but...
Hey, I said I couldn't find proof. Now, I know that the music producer... Paul Mack is also Paul McDermott. I'm thinking, well, maybe it's him, but clearly there's just lots of Paul McDermotts into music in Australian entertainment scene.
Oh, God. All right. So let's get to ratings. So I'll open up the batting. I gave it 6 out of 10. I had it at 7 out of 10, and then I reduced it, and it sort of like fell in the line between there for me. It was a very funny episode. I laughed a lot. But I'm probably judging it against some of the higher end episodes that we saw from season one. So I'm trying to have a little bit of room to grow. How about you, Swinny?
I actually gave it a 7.
Yep.
I probably would have given it a little bit low on the first viewing, but the second viewing, I picked up those couple of little things that just made me go, it wasn't like an episode where you just completely lost it laughing, but it was a really solid story, like, you know, it was just a really solid episode. I really liked it. So
great. And how about you, Mike?
Well, see, thanks again for coming on this episode, Mal. It's actually changed my view, because now it's hard for me to rate it because how awesome it is to have done the episode talking about it, that it's kind of changed my whole view of the actual episode itself. So initially I was going to give it a 7, but I reckon I'm going to give it an 8. Because I remember giggling like a little schoolgirl when I heard it in a few different bits. So,
and for our special guest today, Mal, would you give it out of 10?
You guys just suckers, aren't you? Just trying to suck up to him, giving him high marks.
I forget it was a 3.
Charlie, the whole episode was about ratus. So I give it about a 2. Two times that I appeared in it to hit him.
All right, I'm gonna like
Marty. You're giving him a lot. I only give it a 0.5.
Oh, God. So I'm going to officially have Moddy as giving it a 2, Keith giving it a 0.5 out of 10, and how about Mel? Has Mel got a rating for this episode?
To be honest, I don't think it was one of our better episodes. I mean, I had a good chuckle watching it again, but it wasn't one of those ones where I go, oh, I mean, I couldn't remember the end of the episode. So for me, I'll give it a 5.
Oh, harsh critic of yourself.
Oh, really? Very harsh. My philosophy was once I get this puppeteering gig right, then I'll give up.
Perfectionist. I like it. I like it. Man of my true heart. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been awesome. It's been fun. We'd love to get in contact with as many people as possible, and because we see this as, you know, we want to record this. The show isn't on DVD or on Netflix or anything like that, so we want to sort of put something out into the universe and sort of register that the show has existed and sort of have something that people can listen to. So thanks again for coming on.
No problem, guys. Thank you. I mean, I've had a blast. It's been a real. It's for me listening to you guys talk about the show is just exceptional, and I'm sure you've got other listeners than just me. But you know, it's It's a real enjoyment, and it was a great time. It was a great time doing the show, and it's good to have a chuckle and talk about the show. So thank you for what you're doing, and I'm sure there are many fans out there who are going to enjoy it. And I will do my best to get some of the other guys to get in touch with you, and it'd be great to hear their thoughts as well.
Awesome. That'd be awesome.
I'd just like to add a thank you to Keith, and thank you to Medigliana for also jumping in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. Oh, shut up. Would you? whinging native animal. Thank you very much. And next time you want me, I'm happy to talk. Just whatever you do, don't get that rat on the show.
Awesome. That was an awesome episode. And that's bye for now for us.
Adios.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.